We've all been to family gatherings, dinner parties, wonderful meals, and after the meal has been served, the host or hostess declares we have some desserts, and they bring out three wonderful, bounteous desserts. Now, you may have one piece of one of these, or you can have a small piece, whatever you want, of all three. Well, that happens at Christmas time when we gather our son's place with our whole family, and I always have, say, one of each. A little bit of each. This morning, the scripture texts are kind of like that. They're also good. Now, I've chosen to do all three of them. And so let's start with the prophet Micah. Micah was about 800 years before the time of Jesus. And in the sixth chapter, in which we find our Old Testament lesson today, Micah is picturing a courtroom. God is the prosecuting attorney. The people of Israel are the defendants. And God accuses the people of Israel of forgetting. They have forgotten that he led them out of slavery in Egypt, that he took them through those 40 years in the wilderness, provided food and drink for them in their wandering in the wilderness, and that he led them to the promised land. The promised land. And when they got there, it was kind of like, okay, you know, you've done your job for us. We're here. We're settled now. Thank you. They forgot. And they began to live their lives outside of any relationship with God. And God comes to them and he says to them, you have forgotten me. And so what shall we do? Should we give the best of our animals to you, our finest oils, or even our firstborn? What do you want, Lord? And he says, this is what the Lord requires. For you to do justice. And that is to establish God's order in this world. To love kindness. To love your God, to love your neighbor, and to live and to walk humbly with your God, to be attentive to God's will in every step. That's what the Lord requires of you. Powerful text. Let's go to that second lesson, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he talks about how the things that we think about are just kind of turned upside down by God. That his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He turns things upside down. And he says through the Apostle Paul in Paul's main theme in all of his writings is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross. It is foolishness, says Paul, to those who do not believe. The cross is foolishness. It's simply a method of dying badly. But to those who are being saved, I love that phrase, being saved. You see, by God's grace, we are all saved. But our life is a process of living out that being saved. To those who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. We can preach many sermons on that text. And so we go to the gospel from Matthew 5. Jesus is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and if you've been to Israel, I've been privileged to be there three times. The north shore of the Sea of Galilee, probably the most idyllic spot in all of Israel. It was there Jesus fed the multitudes. It was there now that he takes them and he preaches what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5 of that sermon, we find the Beatitudes, or the words, the beautiful attitudes. The beautiful attitudes. In these words, what Jesus is essentially doing is taking the words, for example, from the prophet Micah. And he's putting them into different forms and in different words. But the two are saying similar kinds of things. That those who are humble and heartfelt and obedient to their God, that is what is important. That is important. And so all three of these lessons are ways of God that are not our ways. They may be foreign to us, but that's what God calls us to be and to do. And in his famous blessed statements, Jesus redefines what it means to be a blessing. When do you feel blessed? When do you really feel blessed? Jack and Liz, I'm sure you felt blessed when your grandchild was baptized a couple weeks ago. We feel blessed with family, don't we? Naomi and I often sit and talk and count our many, many blessings. It doesn't mean that in family we haven't had broken marriages and we haven't had illnesses that have hurt and been really difficult. But through it all, there is a love that is a glue that holds us all together, and that family is a blessing. Our life has been blessed. Good work, good health, good friends. How often have you seen people who have gone through devastating natural disasters, be it hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, floods, and what do they say? I just feel blessed to be alive. Blessed to be alive. That God gives us breath to live each and every day. Blessed to be alive. Last week, Jesus called his disciples. This week, he tells those disciples how to live and how we will recognize them. Blessed are you. And those blessings are really something. Let me just touch on a couple of them briefly. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. We will all be blessed every day that we remember in our lives that all of life comes from our God. We bring nothing to the table but that which comes from God. And living in that fashion and that manner, living lives of thankfulness for all that God has given to us and been for us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Ah, the meek. They get trampled on. They get stomped on. Remember the upside downness of God's thinking. Jesus is the model for that particular beatitude. Blessed are the meek. Our society praises, does it not, the power brokers of the world? Holds in high esteem those who have what the world considers important. Money. things, influence. But Jesus honors the humble, the gentle in spirit. For the meek shall inherit the earth. Jesus said, you will be blessed as your lives are marked by compassion and forgiveness. The old law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Turning the whole thing upside down. Most of us here today, as we look in the rearview mirror, we see a lot more back there than we do by looking out the front windshield. A lot more is past than we have in the future. But as grandparents, great-grandparents, as parents, as friends, boy, we got these little children. And I think this congregation does a wonderful job. And I see parents doing a wonderful job with these little children. Sunday school can be very thankful in this congregation for people like Pastor Dawn, Miss Aaron, Miss Vicky, and others who serve this congregation with our children. And then we got the two amigos out there in the nursery. And they're shepherding those little children in there even now as we speak. And which of us do not put a big smile on our face when they corral those kids down the center aisle and bring them up in the front here for something on special occasions? And who brings up the rear? Scotty. And he's got a little child in his arms. What a symbol of what God says is blessed. And so we must teach our children that it is the gentle and the peaceful that inherit the earth, and to work for justice for all of God's people. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God. That is what the Lord requires. Amen.